Father, we do approach you again. We treasure your holy word. Help us to do that truly in word and deed, to hear you, to hear your Holy Spirit, to bow before you, Lord, to know the wonderful, wonderful submission in bowing to God Almighty and putting ourselves before you in every way and having you direct our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you guard your mouth? I didn't say, did you gargle? Do you guard your mouth? I know to some that is kind of a personal question, but I thought, well, you know, since the Bible speaks to this subject so much, and since we say that the Bible is the rule and authority in our lives, and we are in church, that maybe, just maybe, it was okay to ask. So I'm asking, do you guard your mouth? Watch what you say. Do you make a conscious decision as to how you communicate with the people around you, friends and adversaries? But let me ask an even better question. Let me ask an even better question than do you guard your mouth? This week, tomorrow even, will you look to the Lord to direct your thoughts and your words as you speak to the people you come in contact with? Would you turn with me, Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Remember the first question I asked, do you guard your mouth? Well, Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. That's even better, isn't it? Because we can even make be very intentional about how we talk to people. But see, we just have ourselves for a frame of reference. And a lot of times in the world and unfortunately in the church, We go on precedent. We go on what's accepted. It's all horizontal. There's not nearly enough vertical information. What do I mean by that? Well, there's not enough God speaking to us. We have ways that we communicate, and it has been accepted for so long, for decades even. And really, when we think about it, we oftentimes don't communicate to each other, to the world around us, to our husband, to our wife, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't communicate any differently than the world communicates. We kind of Christianize it. But God gives us so much very specific direction. It says here, the psalmist, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. What if the church is corporate, the church as a whole, our church, our fellowship, but church in general. What if we just took that verse 3, and made that our memory verse this week and really became earnest in living that out? Can you see the healing that would come to the church of Jesus Christ across this land, across the world? This is one of the things, there's a few of them on the list. One of them is our resistance to forgiveness, as God calls us to forgive. And I shared some of that in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago. And this is another one. Our resistance to speaking to and about one another as God directs us. It seems like we can let God speak to these other areas of our lives, but why is that? What could be the reason? Is it not important enough? But that can't be, can it? Just volumes and volumes in God's word. You start to preach on the tongue, and you really have to start weeding things out, or we're going to be here for 3 days just reading the verses. So it can't be that it's not important, can it? It can't be that it doesn't matter, because we may not even get to James 3 where it talks about the tongue. Like just the fire fire of hell, just burning things up. But we say that the Bible is the rule and authority of our lives. Why are we so hesitant to let him? And here's the other part. And all of these things where there's this resistance, where our rebel hearts take hold, there is tremendous, tremendous blessing and joy and exulting in God when we submit to God in these areas. When we do have some verses. There's verses that does talk about the in Proverbs 13:3 says, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life." Now we already know how you do that. We can't set out on our own, can we? We got to go the Psalm, Lord, I need you to do this. We know from James 3 from the New Testament that no one can control this tongue, can they? Unless you're the exception. Maybe you're the exception to in Romans 3 where it says there's none righteous, no, not one. It might just be there's one exception. That might be you or that might be me. Because you got to wonder, because sometimes it seems like that people that, well, I'm the exception that to that because we're not hearing God on this. But back to our Psalm 141, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. You know, there's a parallelism in Scripture, and sometimes it rolls one theme into another thing. Sometimes it contrasts. But when we understand what God, and here he's speaking to set a guard, Lord, O Lord, over my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips. Now look at the parallelism that comes, and this would be, the technical term would be synthetic. It means this rolls into this next thing, and we have even more insight on this battle, on this the advantages of God guarding our mouth. Do not let my heart incline to any evil. You see what that's saying? If God is not guarding my mouth, if the Lord, if I'm not seeking God on how I speak to you, and when you're not around, how I speak about you, what is my heart inclining to? Well, it says, do not let my heart incline to any evil. See, we want to redefine evil. I wouldn't let my heart incline to evil. Yes, you would, because you have a Jeremiah 17:9 heart just like everybody else. Heart's deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? You think you can know your heart? You think you don't have to go to God to direct this heart, to bow ourselves before him? You think the rebel doesn't live with, he lives within me. I'll bet he lives in you too. Because he lived in everyone, starting with Adam and Eve when they rebelled in the Garden of Eden. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of what? My Bible says their delicacies. What's New American Standard have, Gerald? Delicacies. King James probably has that too, doesn't it? Or tasty morsels, or dainty morsels. Yeah, that, and you know what that's speaking of there, speaking of other things, but you know what those little tasty morsels are, those delicacies? The dirt, the gossip, the dirt. The Bible calls it evil. But you know what? It's not gossip when I do it. I'm the exception. It's, you know what it is sometimes? God will point these things out to us one of these days. We'll be before him. It'd be nice kind of now if we get the message now. But you know what? Sometimes we cloak it. Our hearts are so deceitful. You know what we call it? Prayer concerns. Yeah, I really try to hesitate sometimes when I'm talking to someone. And I'll give you an example. Pastor Sam. I wanted him to know, and I expressed this. I said, they're concerned about you. I said, this isn't just curiosity. Now, maybe some it is. We're not looking for dainty morsels, is that?
It says, let me not eat of their dainties.
Of their dainties, okay. The delicacies. We aren't looking for tasty morsels, for dainties, for delicacies. Now, I didn't express all that to him, but what I wanted him to make sure of, it was, I was approaching him. I said, I want to be able to accurately communicate. I asked him, I said, how open can I be? I got permission because some people are more private. But But sometimes you've had people do that. You've had people saddle up to you and you know that, well, you know, they're concerned or prayer, and you know what? They're just digging for gossip. They're digging for the story. They want the scoop, the dirt. Is that evil and wicked? It is. Are you capable of that? Oh Lord. See, this is, oh Lord, set a guard. Oh Lord, over this mouth right here. Because this heart right here is inclined to evil. See, our mouth leads to those things. We talk about our bodies being interconnected. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Wow. If the Church of Jesus Christ could embrace this, could live this out, look out the power and the witness and the testimony we would have across our communities and our cities and our countrysides, our world, the re-imaging that we would have before this world. And they may still deny it, but they would see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in company with men who work iniquity. And that's where we put ourselves, folks. We're right there with the world. We're right there with the world. We're not living any differently. Everybody, you know, we heard another dinner today. We had some folks over, another, you know, not going to go to that church, those hypocrites. You know, we've all, at least most people at one time or another have had their hypocrite story, their hypocrite defense, right? I had mine for a while. Truth was, I wanted to sin. I didn't want to listen to God. I was a rebel. I grew up in church, so I had plenty of hypocrites that I could target. But truth be told, I wanted to sin. But we do have our hypocrite stories. But we give them plenty of ammunition, don't we? The Pharisees, the self-righteous. We might not think of ourselves as Pharisees and Sadducees, but if we don't come before God, bowed before Him and saying, I need this, Lord. I need you, Lord, to set a guard over this mouth. I need you, Lord, to keep watch over the door of these lips so this heart is not inclined to evil. If we don't have that attitude, we're self-righteous. And that was the Pharisees' problem. You know, one of the big problems the Pharisees had, if you want to turn to Matthew 23:23. They had a lot of problems, but this is one that stood out. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You know, the people who are nitpickers are legalists. The people who are looking for the minutiae of the law. See, the Pharisees, the self-righteous, one of the big problems is they major on the minor and they minor on the major. It says, man, they could get that mint and dill, what is it? Mint and dill and cumin right down to the fraction of the ounce, probably as far as tithing. But you know what they missed? Justice, fairness, fair treatment, and mercy. They didn't have a clue when it came to mercy. And here's a killer. Because they thought they were so faithful to the task, they missed it on faithfulness. Oh, we're faithful. Look at what we're doing. We're following the letter of the law. Look at this. We've got it down. Jesus, what's Jesus saying? No, you aren't. You're not faithful. Because they didn't know. Their priorities were all upside down. Now, how do we get like that? We don't listen to God, folks. Because it's not listening to God, holding our Bibles up and saying, oh, this is the Word of God. Oh, yeah. I'd take a bullet for the Word of God. And a lot of people would. They won't live by it through the week, but they would take a bullet for it. They truly would. One of the first messages I preached coming out of Moody, and it wasn't out of Moody, still in Moody in first year probably, go back to visit Lyford Bible Church, asked me to preach, and one of the first, because it stood out to me, and it was, you know, using Peter as an example and Peter's failings and Peter's strengths. But I said, you know, I said, it's harder to me. I think it's harder to die daily than to just, you know, because I think if someone came in and they said, Dave Scott, you deny Jesus Christ, and they're holding a gun, or we're going to, I said, you know, it seems like that's almost easier than every day having to die to ourselves and humble ourselves before God and allow his work in our lives, because the rebel will not be quieted until that moment when we see Jesus Christ and we attain perfection and glorification. But that dying daily stuff, man, it's humiliating at times. Bowing ourselves before the exalted Lord. But wow, is it the best place? It's the best place. And you know, we have, you know, best, have you seen these best place to retire? Best place to vacation? Well, you know where the best place in all the universe is? Bowed before your Creator. In perfect peace and submission. It does not, I mean, it is. And I'm not just saying, this is not evangelistically speaking, as they say. Where is a better place? While we're still here on this earth and bowed before our Creator. And we're like the psalmist in Psalm 73. He was all out of focus and he couldn't understand. Everything was so unfair. He said, why am I even trying? Why did I even try? He said, I try. They're the ones that aren't trying, the wicked, they're doing better. Why? And he said, but and I came into the holy, came in before the holiness of God. He said, now, he said, he got his perspective. A little bit like this morning, the two witnesses that are, as we witnesses, we stand before the Lord of the whole earth. We're living that out. It's part of the package, this gift of salvation that God's giving us. But there's entry points to this. We want a lesson on this or a seminar on that. But there are crucial areas. And one of the most crucial areas for believers in Jesus Christ, for those in his church, one of the most crucial areas, one of the most needed places we need to enter into this fellowship. Oh Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You've heard all the expressions. You've heard your neighbors, your unbelieving friends and neighbors, and you've heard those in the church say all these kind of expressions. Well, I just tell them what's on my mind. Now, that can sound a little silly, or some people think, oh yeah, I just tell them what's on your mind. But now let's just, for a little perspective, let's set that up against these scriptures. And you know what? We see, what a fool. How foolish. Let me read some of these verses. We're in the Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 13:3, I read, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. You see what it's saying there? Go near to listen. Because if you're not going near to listen, what does it say? The fool is only interested in offering his opinion. What does it say about that person? They don't know that they're doing what? Evil. Well, I'm not doing evil. I don't think I'm doing. Well, no, you don't know, because you're not listening to God. You're in disobedience. And you're not even able to identify it as evil because where you are spiritually. And we have that problem. It's rampant in the church. We have that. We don't realize it's evil. But see, we're looking at it down here, but we missed the entry point of listening, of hearing God, of obeying him at this place when it talks about this mouth and these lips and this heart, not the other guys. That's why the church oftentimes is so interested in the other guys, and we can be critical condemners, and we can be against those liberals, and we can be against those homosexuals, and we can be against those drug users, and we can be against. It's so much better Preach it, brother, those people, their sins. What about our sins? The Lord tells us first he's going to look to the church. And if we're listening, if we let God get our attention, there is tremendous, tremendous blessing. Powerful, powerful movement of God. Looking for a fellowship that'll say, I'm going to take these things seriously. I'm going to take it seriously how I speak to and about the people around me. It says here, this guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Well, this is what I think about that. Whoa, wait a minute. Don't be rash. Think about that now. We're going to shoot out our thoughts. We're going to shoot out our opinion. Remember, God's in heaven, you're on earth. Remember, God's God and you're you. Might want to think about it before we just fling it out there. Therefore, let your words be few. Now you're hoping I'm going to listen to that part. You know, the closer we get to 7:30, you're hoping. Didn't listen to that. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just the words and more words, and it just, well, in fact, we've got a verse. It says, when words are many, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. What's that saying? When words are many, transgression, the sin is not lacking. Why? Because folks, sometimes it just comes to, it's not keep talking about it. It's not keep getting, you know, let's bring all this in, let's discuss this. No, it's time to stop talking, and it's time to confess our sin before God. It's time to stop talking and to repent, to change our minds and saying, yes, God, you're right. It's time to live differently, because we just can just keep talking about it and talking about it, and let's have, what do they call that, the groups they have, It's like a response group or something like that. I'm not thinking of the name of it. But it says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now we say, oh, well, I don't cuss. Well, that's not what it's talking about. It can talk about that too. It can talk about that in Ephesians. He talks about filthy talk and coarse jesting. See, we got to make sure God tells us what he's talking about, not deciding what he's talking about. No corrupting talk. Something is going to take away. Well, it's going to show us that. But only as such is good for building up. So when we're talking to the brothers and the sisters in the fellowship, or when we're talking about the brothers and the sisters in the fellowship, are we corrupting our fellowship, or are we building it up? Are we corrupting it? Are we taking it apart? Are we undermining the structure? Or are we building it up? As fits the occasion, that it may give grace. When we speak, we're building, we're building, we're coming to each other, our words with unmerited favor. Well, they don't deserve for me to talk to them like that. That's right. That's how God came to you, wasn't it? With grace. We come with grace. We speak to one another. We approach one another. We speak to each other with grace. We speak about each other. To those who hear and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then here we've got a grocery list. And we could probably, every time somebody is grumbling and complaining in the church, we could go right down and we could identify it on this grumbling list. Or we could go to James, where it says, where he tells them in chapter 3, it may not be chapter 3, it could be chapter 5, where he tells them, don't grumble against each other. But again, it's those things that, but I'm the exception, it's okay for me to grumble, it's not really grumbling when I do it. I mean, that can be the only rationalization, can it? Because those people, they're grumbling. But I'm grumbling, it's not grumbling. I'm complaining, it's not complaining. I'm murmuring, it's not murmuring. I mean, it doesn't have to be, isn't it crazy? But that's what sin is. The first time I heard, I think it was, probably a lot of people have used it, but I think that when I first, like years ago, and Chuck Swindoll talked about the insanity of depravity. Just the crazy stuff that we come up with. It's this foolishness that even as believers in Jesus Christ, we can be foolish in these ways when we're walking in disobedience. And we come up with all these crazy rationalizations. Well, I had good reason to do that, really. Can we bring that before Scripture and see your good reasons? No, can't really. So here's, let all bitterness. We're saying something to someone or about someone. Is there bitterness there? Now, don't forget that Jeremiah 17 heart now, 17:9 heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Because see, if we're not listening to God guarding these lips and this mouth and these lips and this heart, that heart's going to deceive us. It's slick. It is really slick. And we're going to say, well, this isn't bitterness. Well, no, we take it before the Lord. See, this all takes a conscious effort, though, doesn't it? Got to intentionally, how am I speaking to the people around me? How am I speaking about them? A biblical, intentional effort. And if there's something there, and again, we're very slight, and there's bitterness there, and we might bring it out, and we're really good at that, aren't we? We're saying something, and sometimes we call, you know what a left-handed compliment is? And someone compliments you, but they didn't really. And we say things like that about people, and someone will sometimes even thank you for something. And you're thinking, they jabbed me. They didn't really thank me. Left-handed thank you, I guess. But we're real subtle because we're deceitful because that deceitful heart, we're not letting God keep it in check. And we're fooling ourselves. So there's the bitterness and wrath. And anger. And there's really, you know, there's the passive aggressive. And, you know, they're the quiet ones, but, you know, they're going to get you back. They're not going to be as outward as someone. And sometimes they can appear to be calm and cool and collected and so spiritual, but no, they're boiling underneath. And it might be subtle ways that they do it, but they'll do it. And wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is that noise that you hear in church, that grumbling and that murmuring, that complaining because you didn't get your way in the meeting or whatever it might have been, and you think it should have been this way and it didn't happen. That's the clamoring. That's that rattling around. Satan loves it. Satan absolutely, and he uses it to the fullest extent. And we fall for it. He's got his playbook. He says, these Christians will fall for this. Now, we wouldn't if we followed. You know, even our Lord, when he was tempted in the wilderness, what'd he do? Quoted Scripture, didn't he? We don't need to do that, though, do we? We don't need to stay that close to the book, do we? Because, I've been a Christian for years, and I know Christians, and this is acceptable in my Christian circles. Well, it might be acceptable there, but it's not acceptable before the throne of God. That clamoring and slander. We say, well, I wouldn't slander someone. Well, did you put them in a bad light? Did you say something? Did you pick up something? It just shouldn't be in the church like it is in the world. In the world, we expect it. People just picking up something, some dirt, some trash, and trying to throw it on someone's reputation, on their character. But we should never see that in the church, but we do, don't we? And then we wonder, well, why has the church not got the power it should? Why don't we have the witness that we should? Well, because these these places, it's not always these big battles out there. It's not, you know, always the big battle out there fighting abortion or fighting this legislation. Because we'd rather be out there than letting God deal with these mouths and these hearts. Because sometimes we can be like those self-righteous Pharisees. And we got everything upside down. We major on the minor. And we minor on the major. And boy, we can have this down to a T. But we don't understand justice, and we don't understand mercy, and we don't understand what it truly means to be faithful. It says, and slander should be put away from you, along with all malice. And you know what? Malice is one of these kind of catch-all words. It means bad feeling. And I'll put words in the Apostle Paul's mouth a little bit, but it could be kind of like, and if for anything else, if I haven't covered it with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, any bad feeling, are we saying anything from bad feeling? Am I saying it bad feeling? Because our words oftentimes are a form of revenge. Gossip is definitely, usually, a form of revenge against a person. And we think it's like an attack on them, but what we don't realize is we're crumbling from the inside. We're not here. God is so clear on these things. And it seems like His church, His people, are so slow to respond and say, we're sinning in the way we speak to each other. We're sinning in the way we talk about one another. We're sinning in our grumbling. We're sinning in our murmuring. We're going to skip James 3. We're pretty familiar with that. You can go by it by way of review. But conclusion, are you the exception? You didn't need to hear this message tonight because I was preaching to all those people that it really applied to, right? Let me bring a little Bible in here for us too then. Romans chapter 3 verse 11. Romans chapter 3 verse 11. We could really start in 9 or 10 and go through 18, but we'll just read 11 through 13 for now. Romans chapter 3, 11. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Not very many exceptions in here so far, are there? All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now here's where it gets really interesting, because it's going to talk about this. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps, of poisonous snakes, is under their lips. This is who we are in our depravity. And yes, Jesus Christ, if you've come to Him, and I would say that we pretty safely say all of us have come to Him and received His gift of eternal life. But there's still that battle with the old man and the old woman, that old self that's there. And He's creating us to a new image, and it's going to be amazing, and we'll just be absolutely astounded. But that old battle's there, and that old man and that old woman will win when we're not paying attention to our God. We are not intentionally and consciously. These scriptures that He gives us, this wonderful, wonderful book of the truth of God, He tells us how to live before Him. And one of the most concrete ways, one of the most important, and it seems like we kick it to the curb so easily, but it's how we speak to one another, how we speak about one another. But the blessing, the tremendous blessing, and the power that will come to any fellowship when we say, you know what? I'm going to take God at His word. I'm not just going to take God at His word on these. I mean, we want to take God at His word on creation, don't we? Yes, we do. We want to take God at His word on the deity of Jesus Christ, don't we? Yes, we do. The authority and inspiration of Scripture, yes, we do. By grace, through faith, no works. We want to take God at His word on that. Yes, we do. Those big ones, those big hitters, we want to do that. We don't want to leave those out. But this is the nitty-gritty, the daily part of our lives where the Holy Spirit can live and breathe love and joy. If we live by the Spirit, let's just turn there very, very quick. Galatians 5. This is what all this directs us to. This is the life that this directs us to. Galatians 5. in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, walking by the Spirit would be walking according to His word. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is where we can live. If we will obey, when God brings these things to our mind, and if we would take Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4, and hang on to those all this week, not just those, but it's a very good entry point. Here's what we step into, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you want that kind of life? That's the life we want, don't we? Let the world rage around us. But so many believers were torn. We don't have this isn't something we produce. He said that's what the legalist does too. The legalist tries to do things that brings in the love, to do things that brings in the peace. No, it's bowing before God. It's obeying Him. And the Holy Spirit of God is not quenched, and the Holy Spirit of God is not grieved. And the Holy Spirit of God produces this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control in our lives. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? These places where God says, if you'll go right here. But sometimes we are so resistant to hearing the voice. We've done it the other way so many years, decades. But the blessing that'll come by giving this over to our Lord. Father, it is truly a blessing. Your word, your ways. Father, the quiet assurance and strength and peace. Father, the sense of belonging to you and of knowing more and more who you are, who we are in Jesus Christ, as you teach us that. The hope of heaven, the promise of glory, the opportunity, Lord, here to stand against the darkness and be a witness for Jesus Christ begins in these details of our lives, our thoughts, our words before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.